This is CliffCentral.com.
Sanwa Nanonke, welcome to the show. It is, frankly speaking, 1 hour of the hot potato issues in South Africa. I'm very excited about today. Rorisang, tuwela.
Dirimbrek.
Kishap, when?
Esvar.
Yes, that's this Pretoria language. You know that social media hashtag was real there because I don't understand a damn word that you say. I don't even understand a word. Yeah, Kispitor.
Yeah.
When anyone says, no, you're not Pretoria, you're Sotho. No. You really are.
Kispitor. Kispitor is very late.
That thing is getting so hectic. Par. That thing is getting hectic.
Yes, par.
What are we talking about today, Rory?
So today, politics is part of our lives and so on, but we never actually take a step back. Even us on the show, we speak a lot of politics, but just to come to understand the basics of politics. So today we thought we would bring somebody in who actually leads a political school, the Democratic Alliance Political School, Makashule Ganda, to come and just explain, have a deep conversation on politics in general within the country. Ask him questions around land, ask him questions around how we should be engaging with the topic of whether we should be participating in politics or not. So, yeah, that's what we're going to discuss today.
Listen, if you want to talk to us a little bit about us or ask Makashule any questions, hit us up on WeChat. It's Cliff Central, or on Twitter. You can hit us up on Rory Shabalala or Yebo_Levy. We'd love to hear from you. Ask your questions, and let's ask some of those to Mr. Gunner himself. Makashule, good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning to Rory. It's good to be here. You know, I look forward to having much fun with you guys, and thanks very much for the invite.
All right, let's get into it. Gunner.
Yes, Rory.
Give us a crash course in politics. You and I used to sit on opposite sides of the political spectrum. I didn't survive. You did. So clearly, you know a few things about politics that I don't. If you had to give a person a crash course, an introduction to politics at your political school, or maybe tell us a little bit about your political school, and then tell us, you know, what are the things that you believe are the fundamentals to know as you enter the world of politics?
Thanks, Rory. Maybe to start with the political school, it's 5 years now in the running. We meet every second week and we discuss topics, the range of topics from DA policy, South African policy, current events, leadership styles, the constitution of the republic, which is key. You know, I mean, if there's one piece that I enjoy moderating the most is the preamble to the Constitution. I mean, I can do the preamble any day, you know, because I think it's so rich. Mm. You know, it starts we the people, you know, recognizing where we come from.
And it
gives us a framework of where we want to go as a country. And if you internalize it, you'll understand politics more, you know.
Why don't you recite it for us, since you love it that much?
So the
why are you putting
so the important part, you know, it says we the people, you know, recognize the injustices of our past, honor those who suffered for justice and freedom in our land, respect those who have worked hard to build and develop our country. Believes that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, united in our diversity. You see, that portion encapsulates or captures where we come from, who has brought us here, and what we want to build. You know, want to build this South Africa that is united. You know, because the thing is, we come from a divided past. We come from a divided past, and it's important that we build a united country.
Do you, as a DA political school, do you actually discuss the past? Because it seems some of your senior leaders have all who goes through your political school. Because if you discuss the past and the thing that Helen Zille says, what kind of past are you guys discussing in the political school?
There's no question that's off limits at the school. Whether it's the racial nature of our past in economic terms, in terms of special development, where black people are, or where the well-off people stay, the distance between the two, who owns the means of production, who owns the land. So we discuss these things, you know, because if you don't recognize that we come from an unjust past, then you are not going to build a better country. Because everything starts with recognizing that, you know what, it took a lot. People paid with their lives for us to be here. And all they were fighting for is to be equal citizens. Mm. You know, they were not, it was not a fight for the sake of it. It was to say, you know what, we are as humans as you are. Mm. And that's what the fight against colonialism, the fight against apartheid was, and to ensure that this country belongs to all. You know, that's a big thing. This country belongs to all who live in it. Yes.
Ghana, help us just about the political school before we get into understanding the concepts that you teach there. Is this open to anyone? Can Andrew and I rock up? I mean, our politics are always confused, so maybe we could do with a few sessions. Or is it like for DA people? Or how does it work?
The school is open to everyone. But obviously, it's biased towards the DA. So no one who comes to the school is ever chased away. You know, we've had instances where members of other political parties have rocked up because they see me tweeting about it, and they just want to see for themselves whether this thing really exists or it's just me on a Sunday, because we meet on Sundays. You know, every second Sunday, we do run about, I think, 21, 22 sessions a year of 2.5 hours each. So that's the amount of time that one dedicates to this. And obviously, there's preparation time and so forth. But if you want to come, just come. Now I give the address, so anyone wants to come. Even we've had media people who come to attend so that they see whether this thing is real. And many come out of there and say, hey, we never thought this kind of discussions happen inside the DA. Mm. Because all we see, it's like we know the DA from press statements. We never got exposed to the hard discussions that goes on in the party. And it's a good way for also our supporters and activists to understand not only the DA, because we don't only teach the DA. We teach the DA in relation to the political environment, the DA in relation to the other political players in the country, and the policies that either the government has or the DA has.
So take us then into the teachings. When you decided you were going to establish a political school 5 years ago, what is it about just normal South Africans that you think requires us to get this political education, and what do you focus on? So what are the different areas that you focus? How do you do? I'm trying to imagine a guy sitting at home who's like, okay, I realize politics is everywhere. The Guptas, the Zumas, the Helen Zillers, the, you know, all around me. But where's a good starting point for me to engage with politics? What do you do?
Yeah, so when I myself and my friend Kume conceptualized the idea, it was to say we need an informed membership, we need an informed activist, because if you don't know why you do what you're doing, then you'll hardly do it right. Mm. The important question for us that we seek to answer with every session is to say, why do I do what I do? Why am I in politics? Am I in politics so that, you know, like you see these politicians who have dated the political environment, driving the big cars, staying in big houses? Is that what the politics is about? Is that why many people join politics? I mean, and that's not the case. It's about the cause. What do we want to achieve? And at the root of what we want to achieve, it's a prosperous and safe South Africa for all. But then how do we achieve it? Obviously, you need a certain kind of a political mindset to get there, the one that's conscientized, that understands that, you know what, this thing is not about me staying in a big house, me driving big cars, but it's me being a servant.
But then maybe you can help us out there, because, and maybe that's a starting point, because every party says they pursue the same things. And we know that the ANC also has a political school and so on. So what is it that is fundamentally different about the different parties? So is there anything that is fundamentally different between the DA and the ANC, for example?
Yeah, there's a lot that we different. You know, at the root of us as a DA, we start with an individual. You know, it's all about individual freedom and individual responsibility. So we don't want to hide behind a group.
Mm.
And say, you know what, you as an individual, how do we make you prosper? But that doesn't mean that we don't recognize that you come from a community. And we understand and we recognize that the unjust past that we come from was not only done to an individual. It was done to a group of people.
Mm.
So you cannot dismiss that...
we're a collective.
We also come from a past that saw people first and foremost belonging to a group.
Mm.
And injustice was perpetrated or done on the basis of a group, and then an individual second. But for us, we need to ensure that as a person, as an individual, what then becomes your role in building this South Africa that we want to build,
mm-hmm.
and want people to associate freely with the political parties, with religious formations. So that for us is key, you know. And I think the difference is not only what we say we are, because that's another thing, that you can write a document and say I'm a good person, but then when you leave here you go and do bad.
Mm.
Are you a good person just because you say you're a good person?
Mm, mm, mm.
So the big part is on how we do what we say we will do.
Mm.
And that's one of the big differences that we'll have with other parties. And also, we are of a lean, you know, I mean, the state involvement in our personal lives needs to be at the minimal. You know, only when it's like absolutely necessary for the state to be involved, it should be involved. The state should provide the things that things like roads, like education, like public health. But many things allow individuals to thrive, allow those that want to live their kind of life, to live it freely without the state intervening in their daily lives.
So it's interesting, you bring up a whole bunch of thoughts about, and I wonder if our friends at the Renegade Report would love what Makashule is saying about the state being minimalized. But I'm interested to hear, just to roll back a little bit, you spoke about the individuals within the organization having a say and feeling very empowered to talk about issues that are facing them, specifically around the injustices of the past. When you, as a leader of the political school and an activist, as I think you would call yourself, see things like the way in which Mbali Mthule was disciplined or the tweets of Helen Zille, you're not getting away from that stuff, right? How does that make you feel personally? I mean, I know you're going to have to toe a party line, and I can already see the machines of the DA working in your mind right there. But let me bring it down to you personally. You're the head of this leadership school. It sounds amazing what you're doing, and it sounds beautiful, and the ethics of why you've set it up is really important. The why question, the so what question. But when you see things like that, how does it make you feel?
Obviously, it hits you.
Mm.
You know, it starts questioning whether this South Africa that we try to build, which every day wake up and try to build, will be realized in our lifetime. And so, what you say, you know, maybe it offers us an opportunity to discuss, because sometimes it's easy to start throwing stones, you know.
Mm.
But you need to go in and say, but how, why we have certain views that seems not to be in line with the South Africa that we want to build.
Mm.
But as I said earlier, you can't build this South Africa without revisiting the past injustices. And some of things that do happen, people say they do hit, you know, hit you so hard, like, eish. Now I have to go and
that's what Sunday's conversation is
and explain, because people look up to some of us to help them understand, but Ghana, what's going on?
Mm.
Like, hey, I'm also trying to understand because it's not clear sometimes when things are said. But you know, it's important that in our doing, we show not pretense. I don't like people who pretend. We need to be authentic.
So take me through it, right? You meet every second Sunday, and if you've just joined the conversation, welcome to Understanding Politics 101 with Makoshule Ghana. You meet every second Sunday, and this whole thing with Helen Zille goes down, and she talks about colonialism being, you know, like there were some good things coming out of colonialism. What's the discussion happening on that Sunday afternoon, if I may ask?
Sunday morning,
apologies.
That one probably goes on until evening.
Exactly.
No, we then visit. You know, for us, it's not the first time that maybe we visit our racial unjust past. So, as I said, people want to say no. There's this thing. People were angry when they were reflecting to say no. This thing, especially as a party, you know, these things are not, it's not good, because people, remember, we are part of society. Sure. It's not people live amongst gay people.
You're not in isolation.
They live amongst all the other people in the country, and they hear this thing, and then they hear the comments from the public, and they bring it, because that's what we want. We want to also people bring their lived experiences. So if your neighbor has stopped you and said, but hey, Ghana, I hear on the radio that this is happening, and I see you are wearing this T-shirt. What's your view on this matter? And if you don't create a platform where people develop, they are empowered to respond to that question, then the person on the street will say, but it means you are just hired to wear a T-shirt.
So is it effectively media training then? You're training people how to answer questions?
I'm not talking about media. I'm not talking about media. I'm not talking about a microphone. I'm talking about a neighbor that has heard in the news that something is happening in the party.
So,
and then they ask. So as an activist, as a supporter, you must be, without actually going and asking Ghana what Ghana thinks, you must be empowered enough to give a response to that question. And it should not just be a response because there's a question. It must be a well-considered response.
But now, let me ask you this. So let me say I'm your neighbor, right?
Yes.
What is your response to that? You know, when those tweets came out, and I know it's a long time ago now, but what is your response to that? Like, you look at me in the eyes, and your first response will be, "Aish, right, oh, flipping out." What's happening?
The first response is that I do not agree. I do not agree at all, you know.
With what she's saying?
With what the tweet said. You know, I do not there's no way that I can agree.
Right.
You know, especially when you look at the effects. You know, the effects of colonialism, the effects of apartheid are still here with us. You know, it's we haven't built. This South Africa is an ideal. This South Africa that we want to build, that's united in our diversity, it's an ideal. We are not there yet. So when one looks and say, "Hey, we, there might be something," you know. When you look at apartheid, you look at colonialism. At least from where I come from, the rural village of Limpopo in Tzaneen, and I look around, I say, honestly, looking around here, is there something positive? So you look around and say,
open up your perspective.
This is a village, and then you look and say, but hey, there's nothing. There's no story, let alone a good story. There's like, you can't go back and find, things were so bad. They are still bad, but then it was extremely bad.
So we're talking about your understanding politics 101, and I'm just interested, you know, you've set up the leadership school within the DA yes. perspective, and we'll talk a little bit more about the funding, because I think that's quite an interesting concept. But one of the interesting things that I must say I was surprised by was Helen Ziller, we can say, is outdated, might be even, I mean, why she's still relevant within a DA perspective and a political perspective still baffles me, given where she's supposed to be at. One of the interesting things for me is the response from the leadership, specifically the number one at the moment, Muzi Maimane, right? Mm. Where he was speaking about internal processes and making him quite depersonalized as a leader. Now, you've spoken about how you're an individual within a community. You're a person before you're a party. Of course, these things are important, right? But were you surprised by his response, or were you disappointed maybe by his response and the fact that he didn't, you know, he wasn't outraged as a South African who has the stories that you're talking about, has parts of those stories. Let's not forget that. He's from Soweto. He knows that colonialism has no way a positive effect on anything. Were you surprised or disappointed in what he was saying?
I mean, to be fair, Muzi has came out very strongly a few minutes, in fact, an hour or 45 minutes after the tweets, the original tweets, and he said he does not share those sentiments, and that's not the sentiments of the DA that he leads. He came out, it was not 2 hours or 3 hours, a little meeting somewhere. And he came out strongly to say, no, that's not my view. There was nothing good about colonialism. So he did. So he
also, or maybe his actions afterwards.
No, even in the platforms that he spoke, he continuously maintained the line that those views are not shared by the party. But obviously, one of the things that we value, even when someone is accused of transgressing. If you have processes, you must allow the processes to unfold. Because the last thing that you want is you just take a decision now to say, no, you know what, I wake up, I don't like Andrew, so I fire him on the spot. And then you go on a review, and then they find that, no, what you did, it's you have agreed. Remember, as an organization, we have agreed ways of operating. It doesn't matter who you are, or it doesn't matter the nature of misconduct or and all those things. We need to go through the process. That the will, you know, the sometimes maybe people wanted an action 40 minutes after the tweets, you know, Muzi come out and say, no, Helen Ziller, you're fired. No, we should not allow it to work that way, because it's almost going into you know, like the kangaroo courts.
Yeah,
you know, you can see a guy shooting here, outside there, killing someone there. Just because you saw it doesn't mean that immediately the guy must be sentenced to life in prison because you saw it. He must still go through the proper system so that they also have an opportunity to state their case. And it's something that we value in the DA, that you don't just because you believe, you are so convinced that Ghana is wrong, then let the throw the law book out and then just say, Ghana, you are fired.
You know, this is an interesting, because that's one perspective, right? Yes. And I think that's a good perspective. Rory, I want to bring you in as well, because maybe you've got some thoughts on this. But isn't there the other side of that perspective, which then allows too much power given to these supposed processes? And I'm not talking just about the DA here. I'm talking just generally. I'm talking a little bit about, like, corporates and the McKinsey's and KPMG's with their processes that they're now following. And we're talking about the ANC, when they've gone wrong or right, the processes. We give so much power and we depersonalize the processes. You know, we depersonalize the people because we can then use this fallback thing of the process.
But doesn't this go to the heart of understanding politics? Is that if you don't use processes, we come from a history where processes weren't used. But where people could be, where people could just be willy-nilly, where people could be willy-nilly arrested and killed, removed from the face. So it actually goes to the heart of understanding politics, and I think that's probably part of where our ignorance of politics comes to the fore as South Africans, is that you want to see people being judged and sentenced on the spot without allowing processes, which is what we actually fought for all these generations. So I probably sit on a different side of that argument around processes.
Okay, help me understand where your side is.
I think you need to allow those processes to happen, because what happens in an environment and in a society where if you don't have due process? A big part of politics, a big part of government and so on, is a concept of natural justice. And the principles of natural justice, the principle that you should be allowed to have your say before you are immediately convicted. I think in our case, I think it's an interesting thing in the South African context, is that when it's Jacob Zuma, we want him judged guilty on the spot and the key thrown away. When it's somebody we like, and you saw this with Helen Zille, how a lot of her supporters jumped out, no, but... you know, is that really what she said? And you guys are taking this out of context and so on. Is we always love processes when they support the person we love, and we hate it when they relate to a person that we don't like.
So maybe it's not the problem of processes. Maybe you're hitting on something, Rory. Maybe it's not the problem of processes. Let's accept that there are processes that we need to follow, right? You gave a good example, Makashule, about, you know, if you see someone in the street, you know, and they shoot someone, you can't then go and shoot them, right? But maybe it's about the transparency within those processes that we need to understand, and understanding the politics a little bit more, you know? The idea of when in a few months now, we're going to decide on who the next ANC leader is, and potentially the leader of the country, understanding the transparency of that process is very, very important, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe I'll correct you there. The ANC is going to choose their president. South Africans are going to choose their president in 2019.
And it won't be the same person, you don't think?
It's up to the South Africans. I think the days of assuming or affording the ANC to say almost a free reign, to say now whoever you choose as your president, it's will be the president of the country. No. And that's the important thing. Maybe that's where we start when we discuss politics. We as the people, you see, the constitution, it doesn't start with political parties. It doesn't start with political leaders. It starts with we, the people. We have the powers to determine who our political leaders are. You know, one of the things that was denied to black people in the past was the power to elect their leaders. So that's why the apartheid government was an illegitimate government in the country and outside. I mean, many countries didn't recognize it as a legitimate government, because people didn't choose who their leaders are. A section chose us. These are the leaders, and then you guys, you are not human enough, you know, so you can't choose. So, with every election, the people decide who their leaders are. If you don't like whoever the ANC chooses, but then you still go and vote for that person, then you can't blame the ANC. Surely you can't blame the ANC. You must look at yourself and say, but what was my role in this whole thing? So in the same way that people cannot all of a sudden wake up and realize that Jacob Zuma is a bad president today. I mean, Jacob Zuma, before he was elected, already he was facing so many charges of corruption. It was not the charges of stealing a car. So when he takes it to another level, people are surprised. Even those that voted for him. Then we say, surely it's not only Jacob Zuma that we should blame here. He did not walk by himself to get to the union buildings. People carried them using pen and paper.
But don't you think that...
And that's where it starts with politics.
Maybe there's an interesting debate here and discussion around politics, because we talk about politics as a system, right? But there's obviously the politics of emotion as well. Yes. In South Africa, I mean, I hear it amongst young people that I speak to, the loyalty of politics, right? The loyalty that, that people have towards the ANC because the ANC did this one thing of taking us out of apartheid, which is a huge thing, 22 years ago, right, or 23 years ago now. 23 years ago. I'm just going to get my maths right here for a second. And do we not deny this? This is happening. It's going to happen again. A lot of people are going to vote based on loyalty, right? The politics of loyalty rather than the person or the people within that party. How does one on the other side of this get through or get around that?
Yeah, it's a big thing. You know, people are loyal to many things. Some of us are loyal to pirates, you know. regardless of how the team plays, you know, we say it's not a choice. Yeah. At least for me, pirates is not
exactly
a choice.
It's who I am. You grew up with it, yeah.
You know, it's not... If it was a choice, I would support another team, but it's not. Maybe there are people who say that you know. But then they must not... in the same way that I cannot blame Kaizer Chiefs for pirates issues.
Mm.
So people must not now all of a sudden blame other people that their political party is not doing what they are supposed to do. So there's nothing wrong with people being loyal to an organization. If they are unhappy but continue to be loyal, then they must carry the responsibility.
If you just joined us, we're discussing Understanding Politics 101 with Makashule Ghana of the Democratic Alliance. Ghana, maybe help us. I want us to begin touching on a number of issues and help us who are normal South Africans understand how we need to navigate our way around those topics. So the issue of land is a very contentious issue. As a South African, how am I supposed to be engaging with it? As a politically educated South African, what is the politically educated position as far as land is concerned? There's those who say we must take the land. There's words like expropriation without compensation. What does all of that mean? You speak of the constitution and the injustices of the past, and therefore the situation with land, but then some will say, but I don't own any land. Some will say, but I bought this land legitimately. As a politically educated South African, how must one deal with the question of land?
You know, the start point looking at this country is to recognize that there was land, large chunk of land that was taken from black people in this country, you know, by colonialists who came from wherever they came from, and because they didn't come with the land. When the ships landed in 1652, you know, when the Dutch East India Company,
that would have been nice. Eh? They brought the land.
So it's important. So you don't land, you don't take it, you don't steal it to take somewhere. You move people out. So it was not taken like I know, give me the land. It was taken violently in many instances. People died in trying to protect their piece of land. So you recognize that. And you see, our constitution does actually recognize that. And it gives powers to the state. You know, people don't know, for instance, that expropriation actually is there in the constitution. That this government decided not to use it cannot be blamed on the constitution. So people say, no, let's change the constitution to do what? To expropriate land. I say, oh, all right, let's go to the constitution. But the constitution says you can expropriate the land. So people did not affect the provisions of the constitution wide enough. You know, I guess it's the time that we got in. You must remember that to build this South Africa, it was via negotiated settlement. So there were some things that, you know, the first part of the first 5 years was all about this reconciliation, and you didn't want to go gung-ho on expropriating land. Because, you know, peace is also an important aspect to consider. You know, it's not only justice. You don't pursue justice for the sake of pursuing justice. If you pursue justice, that does not lead to peace.
Martin Luther King would disagree with you. When he wrote letter from a Birmingham jail, he said he accused those white liberals of preferring peace over justice.
No.
You're saying no.
I'm not saying you sacrifice the other for the other. Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand.
Yes.
You don't go for peace without justice. It will not be a stable peace. And if you only pursue justice without looking at peace, then you are not going to have peace. So the two go hand in hand. You need both. And there were attempts to try, and even how the constitution is framed, is to achieve both. Mm. You know, to say there was land that was taken, and there are people who need to get their land back. And then says, you know what? Let's give the state, let's give the government the powers to get the land. So that if you say no, you must just see a piece of land and occupy. Then you are actually threatening the whole peace that you are trying to attain, because now, oh, there's a piece of land. We don't care whether it belongs to Rory Sang or it belongs to Henry Levy. We take it. But sometimes people, when we talk expropriation, sometimes they get this impression that it's only land owned by particular people that will be expropriated without compensation.
Up for grabs.
When that happens in a disorderly manner, they will start taking your land, Rory.
My land.
And they'll get to your house and take the cheese in your fridge.
I just managed to get the land from Andrew. Now they want to take my land. They're taking chances. I just got the land from Andrew just yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, you gave me land.
Just saying.
I need land.
No, I'm giving my land away. It's at Rory's hands now. You must take it from Rory.
You no longer have land.
No, I have no land. Rory's taking it all.
Did he compensate you?
He never compensated me. This is in the constitution.
So he gave him freely.
This is in our constitution.
He gave him freely.
Well, I mean, there was a little bit of a fight.
But you see, isn't that the point? That illustrates the other point. Some people will argue and say, yeah, but, you know, how far back must we go? Because before Jan van Riebeck took it from Mazibuko, Mazibuko took it from Shibambo, and then Shibambo took it from the Khoi before him. As a politically educated South African, how do you deal with the question of, okay, so Ghana is basically saying that it is right for the sake of justice that we expropriate the land, if I understand correctly.
As per the constitution.
As per the constitution.
Yes.
but then, okay, if it's okay, then how far back must we look? Because this land was there even before 1652, when Jan van Riebeck arrived. The San and the Khoi had the land even before that. How do I engage in that conversation?
The land has been there. No one brought this land here.
Yeah.
This land has been there. We found this land here.
Yeah.
And started settling, and others unfortunately used force to take the land. And we need to investigate and properly. Not this biased with a proper, people investigate with an outcome. They investigate to confirm
they already decide this
land belongs to used to belong to the ancestors of Rory. Therefore we are going to investigate to confirm that indeed. because you see there's always been a movement of people, migration of people, because we are in the southern tip of Africa. There were no people who migrated north. So people migrated south. So people never, there's no one to the south of South Africa.
This
so people migrated from other parts of the continent in many, many years, and they found land and they stayed there, and then others came. You see, those ones that came, they came to the southern tip via the ship. They migrated north. Those are the people who went north. The other people were going down.
So are you saying that the only we must expropriate from the people that came by ship? The ones that that came
if,
by foot,
no, if,
they
if,
can keep the land if they removed other people.
If you got your land via illegal means, then...
But what about Shaka?
What about Shaka?
What about him?
Did he not get land by violent means?
I'm told he did. I'm told he did.
The man from Limpopo says that nicely. He's like, no, I'm not a Zulu.
You would know. No,
in Limpopo, Shaka didn't reach there.
let's jump into the idea of the selection of political parties. Again, as a politically educated South African, what should inform, because all these parties put together these manifestos, no one reads them. What should inform my decision of whether I'm going to go DA? And it's probably easy to say DA versus ANC, but what's the party that's closest in policies to the DA? Who are you guys with? Who sits on your side of the world, Degana? Help us out.
When you say which side,
political spectrum, on your political spectrum.
Yes.
Spectrum doesn't have sides. So who else? So if I had to choose between voting for the DA and I have to choose between the EFF and the ANC, who do I vote for? On what basis? As a politically educated South African.
So there's that let's say why I want you to vote for me. Mm-hmm. And
but you all say the same thing.
Do we?
All of you.
Really?
You say the same thing. You want a country that's free from corruption, prosperous for all. Same thing. So it doesn't help me to look at your manifestos. They all say the same thing. So then again, help me understand as a politically educated South African who I must choose and on what basis.
All right. I'll give you this maybe analogy metaphor. Because I support pirates. Pirates wants to win. Mm. They want to score a goal.
Mm.
Chiefs also want to win. They also want to score a goal.
Mm.
Ajax Cape Town wants to win.
Yes.
They want to score a goal to win and make you happy.
Mm.
But what then differentiates sometimes, even though they are all playing football, even though they all want to win and make their supporters, it's how we then achieve that. And the important thing for us who are born into this, because it was not a choice, we don't know how people choose to support pirates. I don't know how people choose that. I did not choose it. But I know why I chose the DA, because I chose the DA. You know, I was born in the ANC family. My first introduction to politics was ANC politics. It was more about building an organization that truly belongs to all South Africans, you know, shares the hopes and aspirations of South Africans. So what you then look is to say, I, as Rory, where do I want to see myself? Where do I want to see my family? Where do I want to see my country? And who do I then trust to take this country forward? And how you ask the question of trust, you use your own metric, you know.
Are politicians from anywhere worthy of trust? I mean, you all wear different coats, but ultimately, are you not all the same person? You all want power.
You all
want
to win.
You all want to win.
But it's how we win. It's how we win. When you look at me.
Uh-oh. Here we go. It's about to come deeply personal.
So when you look at me, are you seeing the other politicians that you have had conversations with? And if I look like them, then I don't know. Maybe it's something. Maybe.
But then that's the thing. As a politically educated South African, if I see you and I see, and again, and maybe it touches on the question of dirty politics.
Are politics dead?
I see. Yeah, good question. And you are the educator, political educator. So there's a question to you. Are they dirty? But my perception of politicians across the board is that they're dirty. As an average South African, is all politics is dirty and all politicians are dirty. And that's why as an average South African, I will choose to stay out of politics rather than participate in politics. So the question is then, you know, if I see you, what am I supposed to see that convinces me that you are any different from all the other politicians? And how do I determine what is a good politician versus a bad politician? You all say one thing, and eventually the next day say something different.
In this country, there are dirty people, and there are clean people. I mean, I look at you; you're a clean person. I don't see a dirty person in you. Yeah. I don't see a dirty person in you. Yeah. I haven't got to politics yet.
Yeah.
Politics is a subset of society. If we agree that some of our fellow citizens in this country are dirty by their actions, then as a subset of that society, you'll find those dirty elements. But if we also agree that there are clean elements in this society, then those clean elements will also find themselves in the political side. So I will not sit here and say, no, there are those, there aren't any politicians who play dirty. No, there are those. But there are many politicians that play clean.
And those politicians lose.
Those
politicians that play clean lose. Let's be honest, right? Let's use our other soccer team here that we haven't spoken about, right? Morocco Swallows. And
they play cleanly.
And they play cleanly, and where are they, right?
Really?
They're in the fourth division. Now, let me tell you why they're in the fourth division,
Andrew's
right?
Trying to rescue Morocco Swallows. He's one of those.
I'm one vote away from it. This show will be that.
He's on Panyaza Lusufi.
He's on the Panyaza Lusufi side.
Listen. Let's talk about an example that isn't the DA, because I don't want to accuse the DA of being clean or dirty or winning or losing, right? But let's just talk a little bit about the party that did lose, which was Akgang, right? And Rory, you know this well.
I don't want to get involved in this conversation.
No, Rory, you must get involved in this conversation. Because Rory played clean, right?
Yes.
And look where he got. Look where he got. And now you answer, where did Rory get?
Okay.
Where did Rory get to in politics? Nowhere, because this is the problem, right? We can't, you know, Trump wins in America, not because he's clean, because he's willing to go the extra mile to get in front, to make the extra promises to get in front. And this is where the DA starts to get into murky water, because they start to realize that they have to play a little dirtier to get in front, and then start making weird policies and promises to people that they don't even know if they want them to be their supporters or not. Am I wrong?
You see, the driving force, you know, I always say this to my friends. I say, you know what, maybe I'm not a politician. I'm not gifted in politics. I don't have gift of a politician. Maybe those that you say they are gifted politicians are those that play dirty. I'm not a gifted politician, but what I have is a passion. It's a drive. It's a will to see my immediate environment change. It's a will to see my country change and become a great nation. It fulfills its potential. So my passion, even if others say, no, but Ghana, you're playing too clean, you won't succeed. I say there will come a day in this country where the good guys are going to defeat the bad guys. Those that you consider to be bad, ultimately, they will be defeated by the good. So sometimes we those of us who want to play it clean, we want to do the right things, we easily give up. And you know, when we give up, we are leaving the arena. Who is left there? The same people that we want to defeat. So I'll say a weakness, maybe.
He's subtweeting me. A weakness,
maybe, in our politics is that the good guys leave too early. They don't want to persevere. They don't want to fight.
What do you feel about that, Rory? You know, subtweeting you.
Because
he doesn't want to fight.
We need to stay in. You know,
I agree.
You know, sometimes I like
you stay in.
I mean, you think and say, take Mandela. When he went to Robben Island, his prison card didn't have a release date. There were prisoners who Jacob Zuma had a release date when he got in. Like, no, you get in here on this date. You are going to live on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Mandela's prison card didn't have a release date.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was supposed to die in there. You know, that's why he didn't have a release date. But then he stayed the course. He stayed the course. And our politics need the good men to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
If many of us can stay the course and continue and never give up on fighting the bad elements in our society, in no time, many people will be attracted to the good side of politics.
But now this is interesting because we're talking about understanding politics 101, and obviously you're talking about political players within the system, right? And arguably, we've got a live example here where someone left the political arena, Rory Sang over here.
Wow.
Now,
he didn't leave politics.
But he did.
He left party politics. He's still a politician.
And how is he a politician? Are you saying there's things that we don't know about?
No.
Because he does have a bit of a blue shirt right now. What's happening here?
You see...
Don't do that. confusing the listeners.
You see, in the questions that he asks, you can tell that, you know what, that political bug,
it's still biting.
It's still there.
Mm.
And it's not going to leave him. You know why? You know why? Because he loves this country. He loves this country. And he wants to see the good politicians succeed. He loves this country.
Let's get off the topic of me, which is very boring. And let's talk about
because he raised your name. And I was not substituting you, my friend.
No. I've been in politics. I know how the tactics. That was like a clear...
Was that clear?
You know, one of the funniest stories I ever heard. I can't remember who it was. Someone in Parliament, South African Parliament, once came up and said, you know, half of this assembly are donkeys. Or he said something like that. And somebody rose on a point of order and said, a point of order, ma'am.
I'm not a donkey.
This man said half of us are donkeys. It is unparliamentary. He must withdraw that statement. The guy stood up and he said, I apologize, what is it? Honorable Speaker.
Uh-huh.
I withdraw my statement. Half of this parliament are not donkeys. So these are the tricks in politics. You say something without saying something. But you speak of being actively involved in party politics, and you speak about being a politician. As we begin to wrap up, are there ways of participating in politics as just an active citizen, a part of South Africa, that does not involve me carrying a particular party's card? And how? What are the different levels of participation? And where do you think one can best use their efforts?
I mean, the greatest form of participation that we have, that many died for, many spent years and years in jail for, is to elect our representatives. That's the start. And then we must hold them accountable. Part of which includes, just once in a while, just take a visit to the council. See what your local councillors are discussing. And then when you see an advert in the newspaper that says, no, want to build a wall or want to build, want to rezone this place, it's no longer a school, we want to rezone it, we want to make it a club, nightclub. Then participate in those discussions. You know, every year, you know, at the local level, you have councillors have to go to communities and ask what do they want. You know, participate in those. And sometimes, even participating in a radio show, when a politician is there, when your minister is there, and you've got the concerns about the hijackings or the roads not being fixed, you need to ask them questions. Now you see our ministers are on Twitter, you know, they're getting a bit tech savvy. bombard us with questions to say, but you said you are going to do this. Why is it not done? And that's part of continuous engagement. Because me, I don't believe that our engagement must end with voting. You give me a task. It's like giving someone a plan and you buy material and you say, go and build. I'm going to check. You'll tell me when you're finished. Then I'll come check.
It's bad, man.
You'll be surprised when you get there. You wanted a house and then the guy just...
There's a car park.
So it needs regular oversight, regular check to say, are you doing what you said you are going to do?
Magashule, I want to just challenge you on one thing, which is, and maybe it's not a challenge, but more a question.
Oh, I thought you wanted to...
No, I love what you're saying. No. One of the interesting things is you uphold the Constitution as one of the highest pieces of legislation, which it is, right, in this land.
Yes.
We saw a few days ago our friend, the mayor, Herman Mashaba, who wears blue.
Yes.
And he made a statement that said he'll do anything to help South Africans with housing, but foreigners must leave, right? Their own government should look after their citizens in South Africa. Now, as far as I understand, and you must help me because I don't know the Constitution as well as you do, but it says, you know, this sounds firstly like a bit of xenophobic speak, and doesn't our Constitution guarantee basic rights to anyone who's living within the borders of South Africa? So how does that make you feel as a person who is not only a leader within the party, but also upholding a leadership school, which is really important as well? You know, how does that make you feel?
No, thanks for that question, and that's a topic for our next call. So, because this matter has been raised several sessions.
So it's literally something you guys are going to discuss.
Yeah, it's, I can. You see,
what's the date of your next thing? By the way?
It's on the 6th at 11 o'clock at the Gauteng Legislature. We start, third floor. So we have decided, because this is becoming an issue when people start blaming those our brothers and sisters, mainly those from other African countries, who are running away from poverty, and some they're being persecuted and so forth. So it needs a proper engagement. You know, I wouldn't as a leader personally say no, you need to go back just like that. I think sometimes we need to realize that when one is persecuted, when one is poor, the first thing that you think of is to try to go and get food and shelter for yourself. No, people didn't come here because things were too nice where they are.
Of course,
you know,
they wouldn't have left.
So
right?
we need to be a bit sensitive and look at these matters much more in a more humane, you know, understand why people leave the countries. And I've written that looking at how things are happening, now is not the time for us as a country to turn our backs on fellow Africans. Written, I mean, it's public, it's out there. Anyone who says, no, Ghana is because now he's sitting next to Rory and Andrew, he's saying all these things. I've written so many times. Because, you know, you hear of stories of people leaving Libya, leaving other African countries to get to Europe, and they just die. Like in the news, it's like 300, 400 people. They are makeshift
boats
just sank. You come to think of it and say, who wouldn't want, for instance, to be part of your ceremonies in your family? When someone has passed on, you hear that your uncle has passed on, you are here. You come from Somalia. You are not even there to pay your last respects. You think that's an easy life. You know, you can see it as, you know, it's a choice. It's not a choice when it's forced.
Yeah.
And poverty forces you to. So you are here in the country, and you are missing out on so much. You know, many of South Africans who had spent time in exile, they did not participate on what's happening. Others left their kids here. There are people who are in this country, they left their wives there. You know, you come and spend the whole year without seeing your family, 2 years, 3 years, trying to get the little thing, and then you send home. And then we tend to not look at this matter. It's a difficult one. It's a very difficult one.
It's incredible. Like, yeah, unfortunately, the listeners can't see it in studio, but I would love to have somehow broadcast the expressions that Makashule just felt around this issue. It's clearly something close to your heart.
Yeah.
And it's clearly a huge problem. And I think, Rory, you know, we talked about the politics 101. This is maybe what we're missing at the moment, is that openness and honesty to not only engage on across the lines. You know, it's easy to attack the EFF or the ANC if they say something bad about xenophobia, but to also attack those within and be okay, to build a system where it's actually okay to disagree, not even attack, disagree with ones within your party.
And I think that's a point of a show like that, why a show like this is important, and why we probably need to have more shows with more people on around understanding politics, is that it's... You can't be an active citizen and actively participate in the country if you don't actually understand politics and how to engage with it. And I think it's great appreciation for Ghana making the time to spend time with us lay people and helping us to understand the politics of South Africa.
You're still a politician, Rory. I like that. You're still a politician. Listen, if you missed any of the show, hit us up at clipcentral.com/frankly speaking. Of course, this conversation will continue on Facebook as well. So go to our Facebook page, Frankly Speaking, and check out some of the comments. They are fantastic. Lots of people engaging. So thank you so much to everyone who engages us in this show and on Facebook and social media as well. Thanks so much. We'll see you again.
Ciao, Vito.
Ciao, ciao.
This is CliffCentral.com.